text 51551. Today with Miriam on RTE Radio 1.
Observer food writer Nigel Slater has a new book out. It's volume 2 of Green Feast, and this one is all about autumn and winter, very timely. And Nigel Slater is here in studio this. Good morning, welcome to Dublin.
Good morning.
Did you have porridge for breakfast?
Do you know, I had the choice of porridge, but I saw Bircher Muesli, and I love any oat-based cereal. That's my favourite breakfast. So it was, shall I have the porridge or the Bircher Muesli?
You went for that. Well, listen, you've kept a food diary for years. Many people are familiar with your kitchen diaries books. Did the diary start as work or as something more personal?
It was a very personal thing. I keep notebooks. I always scribble things down. And that book, I mean, pretty much most of my cookery books, they've come from the fact I've got a very bad memory. So I have to write everything down. And when I was looking at those diaries, I thought, you know, If I smarten this up a bit, if I put this into whole sentences, it's a book. And that's how they started.
And these Green Feast books, they're all about plant-based dishes. But you do eat meat sometimes. So how would you describe yourself? Are you kind of a vegetarian? Not really a vegetarian?
I am omnivorous, absolutely. I mean, you will never take my pork crackling away from me. But I do find that I'm eating less meat. When I flip back through those diaries and I look at what I've been eating over the last couple of years, I realised that I was eating a lot less meat, quite a bit of fish because I do. But my diet was predominantly plant-based. And because I've always written about, very personally about what I eat. I want to reflect that in the book.
And in its introduction, you say that some people see this time of year as the end of something, but that's not how you, Nigel Slater, view it. You love autumn and winter.
I love the autumn. Whether it's because my year used to be punctuated by my school term, so I always thought that was the beginning of something, I don't know. Whether it's just that I quite like the cold, I love frosty mornings, but I also, love seeing what's happening in the garden and what's happening to the trees and also the food markets. They seem to come alive in the autumn. And, my books reflect that, I think.
Tell me about your annual trip to Japan, I think in early spring. Is it something of a pilgrimage at this stage?
It is a sort of pilgrimage. It's very much a place to recharge my batteries. So I go there and I don't do very much. I'm not, I don't have a sort of an adventure list of things I'm supposed to do. I sort of potter around and I have a very peaceful time. There's nobody demanding anything of me. So I can just find a nice little place to stay. And eat a few nice things. But yes, it's a place of relaxation. It's somewhere to recharge those batteries.
Your new book, it's beautiful. I mean, the cover merits a mention. You call it pumpkin-coloured and it's adorned with an amazing splash of gold paint. Do you get a say in how it looks?
I do. And one thing I've always wanted to do was reflect these notebooks that, where I write down all sorts of things from shopping lists to recipes, and they get very messy. And they're covered in splashes and smears of, olive oil or chocolate or whatever. And I thought, wouldn't it be nice to reflect the feel of that book? And we found this wonderful artist, Tom Kemp, who does these amazing brushstrokes. We thought, that's it. We'll do that.
Yeah, it does look beautiful. There's also a tactility to how you deliver recipes. I mean, you talk about the plates, the bowls being warm too at this time of year, because we need to feel the warmth, you say, as well as taste it.
It's not just about the food. I put a lot of store into the preparing of something, and that includes everything. It's what plate shall I put this on? Should I put it in a deep plate which holds the gravy and the sauce, or can I put it on a flat one? Is it something I want to hold? Do I want this to be a bowl that I can hug and I can sort of cuddle? And I think that's very important. And to me, it's part of the enjoyment. You know, when you're cooking for somebody else, you think, what will this look like when I give it to them, when I hand it over to them? And so, yes, it's all part of it.
What about the nuts and bolts of Green Feast? Let's start with winter stock. You say it has to be deep with a hint of mushroom. Dare I say meaty?
I've been troubled by this word meaty because and beefy, because I do apply them to vegetarian cooking because I want that depth. I want that savour. And it's very difficult to find another word. They are meat-based words. But yes, a vegetable stock is absolutely essential. And you can use the powdered stuff. I mean, it's there. It's in the cupboard. It's not, you know, we don't always have to be perfect and cook from scratch. But making your own stock when you've got an hour or two, I really recommend it. Getting those vegetables really browned in the oven and then boiling them, simmering them slowly for a long time so you get all the flavour out of them, all the sweetness. Mm. I believe it's a good place to start.
You also have a whole section I love dedicated to stuff on toast. Two words you say might be the best two words in the world, better than love and happiness. On toast.
On toast.
I know.
Because it isn't just toast. You're getting something on there as well. You're getting an extra thing.
Recipe descriptions are so simple. Very often just three words like pumpkins, onions, rosemary or carrots, rice and coriander. And there are more ingredients involved, of course. But you seem to crave simplicity, do you?
I do. I like easy food. I like the idea that I don't have to go shopping, that much of what I eat will probably be in the cupboard anyway. But also, you know, as a cook, I find long recipes quite off-putting. When I see a list of 25 ingredients, I think, you know what? I'm not sure I can be bothered. I want simplicity. I crave that quick fix. And, you know, we lead busy lives, let's be honest. Very often some of our cooking is done when we're very tired at the end of the day and we want to make something delicious for ourselves and something delicious for someone we love and care about. But we haven't got all day. So, yes, there will always be that simplicity.
And also, I suppose, maybe for some of our listeners who mightn't have that much money, I suppose you have the luxury, you, of being able to drop into the best shops, buy the finest cheeses and oils and green veg. I mean, what about someone, they don't have access to fresh Cavolo Nero or lovely Pecorino cheese?
Well, Cavolo Nero is only cabbage, you know? It's just a fancy name for cabbage. You know, the food that I was brought up on, which was very much meat and two veg, I don't really eat that anymore. I tend to eat the food that I think I secretly always wanted to, which is the cheap food. It is things that are made with grains. It's, you know, put a baked potato in the oven, I'm a very, very happy man. I've never really thought that the best food is the most expensive food.
Mm.
I think at heart, I've always liked the ingredients that were perhaps maybe shunned slightly out of pure snobbery. I've always had a soft spot for, you know, the cheaper cuts of meat. And with vegetables, it's always been the cabbages. It's been the brassicas, the sprouts, those root vegetables. I love those a lot more than the fancy schmancy stuff.
You've got a really interesting backstory, of course, as well. Not all our listeners will know it. I mean, your autobiography, Toast, it dealt with the death of your mom when you were just 9 years old. Your very tricky, difficult relationship with your dad that's been turned into a play. You go to see the play regularly. Why do you do that? Do you find it difficult to watch your life?
It is difficult, but it's also a very lighthearted and very funny play. But no, I go to support the cast. For some reason, they like it when I'm in the audience, which I would think is very odd, you know, because normally when you're playing a character, they're either fictional or they're dead. But when you're looking at that character and he's sitting in the audience looking at you, I thought it would be a strange experience. But no, they like me there. So I go and support the crew and the cast.
And of course, your relationship with your dad, he was extremely tough on you. Do you think that's because he resented being left in charge when your mum died? Have you figured that out? And have you become more forgiving and understanding of him as you get older or not?
I would love to say I've become more forgiving. I'm not quite there yet. What I have understood, and only very recently, is how difficult it was for him.
Mm-hmm.
He was a man whose whole life, he had had my mum there for him, doing everything for him. He didn't deal with domestic things. And suddenly she was no longer there. And this was a man thrown into suddenly looking after a home and looking after a little boy. And I'd only really recently taken on board what a problem that was for him. Mm-hmm. So I do have a certain sympathy now for his situation. Forgiveness, no, that maybe that'll come later.
Yeah, absolutely. And when funny enough, I was just talking to Diarmaid Ferriter there about Ono Duffy. He was a big historical figure in Ireland. His mum died when he was 12. Your mum died when you were 9. Yeah. Do you think you ever come to terms with that loss of losing your mother so young? And do you think you might have been a very different person if you hadn't lost your mother so young?
That's a very, very good question. I don't obviously know, but absolutely, I adored Mum, and she adored me. And suddenly, when that person is no longer there, it is a great big hole, and you do need to fill it because you're at that age when you want your life to be complete. My dad certainly didn't fill that, and I think to a certain extent, food did, because my best memories of Mum were when we were cooking together. When I was standing next to her and covered in flour making jam tarts, or, you know, if she'd made oat biscuits, oat flapjacks, and I was there trying to get them out of the tin. Those were my happiest memories. And I do wonder whether this whole thing about cooking and cooking for other people comes from those moments that I had with my mum.
Well, that's so interesting, actually. And look, tonight, obviously, you're doing a public interview with Marion Keyes for the Dublin International Literary Festival. It's completely sold out. Not surprised, because you're super popular. Marion Keyes is actually even more popular. Are you looking forward to being quizzed by her?
I am so looking forward to it. I really, really am.
Well, it'll be wonderful. And Nigel Slater, thank you very much. The book is called Green Feast, Autumn Winter. It's published by Fourth Estate. It looks beautiful and it's a great read. Thank you so much for coming in this morning, Nigel.